Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Conningview's ESG is a firm-wide effort and offers solutions from both its asset management and risk management software teams. Contact Conning to learn more about how we can help insurers with ESG investing needs.
Welcome to the changing relationship between asset management, values-based investing, and diversity and inclusion. Part two of the AM Best special presentation series, The Greening of Insurance Asset Management. I'm John Weber.
And I'm Meg Green.
Whether it's called green investing, or ESG, or stakeholder capitalism, insurers are increasingly entering a world in which their actions are being directed and judged on how well they support their professed values.
Approach it in a half-hearted manner, and organizations could be open to accusations of greenwashing. Even issues such as diversity and inclusion are finding a role in insurers' asset activities.
So, Stuart, what role does D&I play in insurers' investment considerations?
Well, it's a really hot topic and one of our strategic initiatives to try and promote and support D&I efforts in the insurance industry and the investment industry. And I think it's become a bigger and bigger topic. Our colleagues at Camera Data in the UK actually have a segment of their manager information, the data that they collect from managers that's specific to D&I. So I'm not so sure that D&I is going to drive the bus, but I certainly think it's a growing consideration on asset allocation decisions by institutional investors in the insurance market and more broadly.
Sonia Axter is managing director and head of asset management for Ulico Infrastructure Management Company, which is investing in upgrades to JFK Airport in New York. Part of that investment is aimed at furthering diversity and inclusion.
We have 31 area investors in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut whose pension funds will be investing in that asset. That's really powerful when it comes to the decision makers, to the mayors of those cities, to the Port Authority, to the commissioner, to the governor. Thinking about that as a way to engage the community and that long-term commitment is really powerful. We're also able in that, as a private owner, to put hiring standards, diversity requirements, diversity of capital, diversity of workforce. We have a real target focus on training and hiring from the zip codes in Queens that are going to be, really impacted by that construction as a huge economic opportunity for that community. So it's something we're really excited to get started on. It's a great example of what we can do when we apply kind of what we consider best practices to all phases of infrastructure investing.
No aspect of property casualty insurance today can ignore the critical importance of diversity and inclusion to the growth and development of our industry and overall. Insurance asset management operations, we know, are examining how to increase the diversity and inclusion of their own operations, the services and companies they use, and the impact of the investments they make. The House Financial Services Committee just the other day issued a questionnaire to the major asset management companies in terms of this particular area, and it would not be surprising to have the same type of inquiry be made of the insurance companies. So as these workable metrics and standards are developed to help insurance investment asset management better understand these areas, the good policies and operations are going to follow.
Could we break down the E, the S, and the G? How are our insurers doing on each one, the environmental, the social, and the governance as far as investing?
Sure. So they're not equally getting the same level of attention. If you look at E with the environmental and climate risk, the industry has addressed this for decades. And climate risk is measured, it's being tracked, it's incorporated. We live with it daily because of various storms and catastrophes that are occurring. The industry has made significant strides with the G, and there have been added oversights on governance of the insurance industry and insurance companies. But it's the S, the social, that has taken third fiddle to the E and the G. And as a board member and as a consultant in M&A for the industry, I am really focused on the S. Why? Because when you look at our society and you look at the social inequities, you look at the racial injustices, we're still in the in the George Floyd aftermath and what happened with that callous killing. And even recently, the stripping away of voters' rights, which is a hallmark of democracy. It's the S where the societal impact of not having the social factors where it should be, that will be affecting the insurance industry, will be affecting our workers. And this is where the opportunity for the industry to really make an impact on the S. And it takes various forms. It takes diversity, equity, and inclusion within the company and at every ranks of the organization. And also the inclusive journey of having our products and services be more accessible to the underserved in particular, that will make a significant difference. And this is where I think the opportunity for the industry is.
When we return,
I think that we need to do much more than spout rhetoric. There needs to be actual action taking place on ESG.
And later on,
the focus has to be not only on one, the environmental factor, but there is a lot to be said also about the social and the governance aspect.
Another term that I'm hearing a lot more recently is the term greenwashing. I don't think that's your type of Meg greenwashing, but we'll see how that develops. I think we have seen a fair amount of greenwashing whereby investment managers and ILS promoters purport to be ESG ambassadors, but there really isn't any independent verification or proof of what makes their portfolio or what makes their investment or their specific action of a company particularly ESG friendly. And there are tools out there. There are service providers out there that can help with ESG reviewing, ESG monitoring, ESG rating, that where you can drill through actions of a company, investment holdings of a company, and the risk profile of a company to actually rate against various peers, to provide an independent ranking. And I think we're going to see more of that on the ESG. We have the EU Sustainable Finance Disclosure regulations, whose provisions actually come in to force on Wednesday, March the 10th. And while it is EU-centric, I believe it's very much a portent of what we expect to see globally, both in the UK, in the United States, and of course here in Bermuda. I think we'll see a continued demand for higher ESG investment standards. I think it will not only accelerate ILS market growth, but it could play an integral role in the long-term sustainability and attractiveness for capital market investors moving forward. And for me, I think the ILS class, insurance-linked securities asset class, is well aligned for tailoring with ESG principles.
Chris Fowle of PRI believes becoming a values-driven organization is a gradual, not sudden process.
It's important to understand the distinction between what PRI is promoting and helping our signatories do, which is actually better investing based on material risks and opportunity, and not values-based investing per se. Although, you know, there's certainly a range of approaches to integrating ESG and being a responsible investor. And those can start at one end of the spectrum with negative screens, right? So if you think about investors that exclude things like, you know, tobacco, alcohol, weapons, those types of things, through to what we would term ESG integration, incorporating material risks and opportunities into a better investment process. And then maybe even continuing to think about what are the outcomes of one's investment. So you're doing ESG integration, right? You're doing it based on your material risks and opportunities, but then you also want to think about what your outcomes are, how your investment decisions are impacting the broader environment and society. So I think it's better to think about it as a spectrum, and some investors, insurance companies included, might take different approaches depending on the portfolio, depending on the asset class, and depending on the potential returns and opportunities.
Axter believes investments can and should further an organization's purpose and values.
ULICO was created in 1927. It was born out of a need to provide life insurance for union workers. And everything about the company has been a values-based mission. So when we, you know, we contemplated bringing this fund together, there was just a, there was a ton of alignment on that. The platform of ULICO is so new, so unique. It's really a one-of-a-kind company. I can't imagine anything that rivals it really anywhere in the world. Obviously, this, we're U.S. focused. It's owned by Union General Funds, and it has, you know, a corporate mission to promote the union workplace. And so, you know, and our fund, I'm a fiduciary, and I get to incorporate, you know, responsible investing policies into my investments. We have a responsible contractor policy, which covers the way labor is treated from an operations, maintenance, and construction standpoint. Yeah, we look for neutrality in our investments. We look for union contractors and union content, union labor in the construction and maintenance phases of our work. It's just something that we talk upfront with our partners. We incorporate it into the transaction documents. We talk to our public counterparties about that upfront. But we look to implement that across our portfolio in various ways, depending on the circumstance.
Commissioner, where do you think the insurance industry is both on D&I and ESG relative to other industries?
Well, so far, I've been pretty encouraged with the insurance industry's openness to discuss both of these issues. And in many, many cases, as we approached our industry to begin conversations with them about the work that we have had started, we've discovered that the insurance industry was either starting around the same time or had already started their work streams on those issues. And so I think that there's a recognition that those are going to be larger issues in terms of society in general, and that they're going to have a role in being responsive to that and making sure that they're showing some progress on both of those issues. So I've been encouraged so far with their willingness to come to the table and have some conversations with us. And so I'm looking forward to the dialogue ahead.
Yes, very much so. I think that in itself is more of a fine tuning and a refinement of this fight to simplicity, flight to certainty, shortening that period, making it very defined. Is certainly a trend that I think we will see developing throughout 2021. I think the letters or the acronym ESG is the most often use of three letters that I've seen since ILS. What was a fad and a trend seems to be much more than a fad and a trend now. What I find interesting with ESG is most people seem to focus solely on the E. And even then, they seem to focus solely on climate change, but there is so much more to that E than just climate change. Similarly, I think the S is subjective. What may seem to be a progressive societal issue for some may seem to be abhorrent to others, and I believe the recent US electoral cycle is testament to that. The often overlooked G in ESG for governance is often something that doesn't get the attention that the E and the S does. And I think there will be more attention paid to the clarity and transparency of investors and shareholder rights as people hone in and focus on ESG. But look, I think that we need to do much more than spout rhetoric. There needs to be actual action taking place on ESG. So I'm expecting we'll see insurers start to adjust pricing and start to implement far more punitive pricing for non-ESG risks. I think they'll bend pricing more favorably towards investments and underwriting that clearly promote the principles of ESG.
When we come back,
the focus has to be not only on one, the environmental factor, but there is a lot to be said also about the social and the governance aspect.
Struggling with today's challenging investment environment? New England Asset Management tailors their services to the insurance industry's unique needs. Learn more by visiting neamgroup.com. That's N-E-A-M, neamgroup.com.
Strictly speaking, there's nothing that we ourselves preclude. Each investor, it's up to each investor to determine based on their organization's investment objectives, and we do want our investors to have an ESG strategy, to have an ESG policy, and follow that and think through what the implications are for them and for their stakeholders, their ultimate stakeholders. And so in that process, we hope that they will determine for themselves, right, what might be precluded, or at least how, what their process is going to be, how they're going to collect data, create systems to make decisions, and then track those over time, engage with their third-party managers if they have them, and understand what they're doing on their behalf, and ultimately make sure, right, that they're capturing the best possible risk-adjusted returns associated with these material risks and opportunities.
So the E in ESG, the environmental, might be a little more accessible for people to get their minds around in terms of investments. Can you speak to how you're also trying to incorporate the S, the social, and the G, the governance portions?
Yeah, certainly, Meg. As we discussed, the environmental, you're right, it generally is the one that take a lot of more of the spotlight because of the conversations about climate change. And also because I would say that this has been more under conversation because of the data available around climate change. But certainly for us in Liberty, the social and governance aspect of the ESG integration take as much as equal role in our integration. On the social side, diversity, equality, inclusion has been something that Liberty has been strived to make progress for a while, and is certainly top of our consideration when we think about the three factors that we want to include in our investment process, but also in our business. On the governance side, same conversation. There is a lot that we're trying to do both on the investment side and on the business side to make basically all these three factors equally important for our business.
So how is responsible investing just one part of your ESG journey?
From two point of view, one is the fact that being a large enterprise like Liberty is about, you know, how you build an ESG integrated framework that is consistent across the business, but also on the fact that the focus has to be not only on one environmental factor, but there is a lot to be said also about the social and the governance aspect that play a critical role in our journeys. As you know, one of our biggest beliefs is that insurance is a socially responsible product. And as such, the social aspect play a critical role in our integration. I think Liberty and as an insurance industry, we are all uniquely positioned to certainly address some of the most pressing environmental, but also a lot of the social issues that the world is facing today, unfortunately. Our company has been equally committed to environmental and social principle for decades. We have been continuing to investing and working with our partner on diversity, equality, and inclusion. We also have been doing a lot of work supporting our local communities. We also, to make sure a more cohesive and consistent approach across the enterprise, we created the Office of Sustainability in 2019, exactly with that goal in mind. We have been established for ourselves five critical principles to guide ourselves to our approach to ESG. And also, we see ESG as an opportunity. We see ESG guided by research, data, and outcome. And most importantly, to my first point is, we want to deliver an approach that is consistent across the enterprise. Those are really the five principles that are guiding all our global offices, but also across business unit, from investment to business and operations. I can't tell you how excited I am about the future of our integration of all these environmental, social, and governance discussions. I can tell you that at the enterprise level, this conversation and those integration of those factors are becoming integral part of what we do, from board of director, leadership, employee, customer. Those are part of what our strategy is.
Thank you for watching part two of the AM Best TV special presentation, The Greening of Insurance Asset Management, the changing relationship between asset management, values-based investing, and diversity and inclusion. Don't miss the other two episodes, The Push for Responsible Investing and Higher Expectations in an Age of Lower Returns, or our wrap-up discussion with several leading asset managers. For AM Best TV, I'm John Weber.
And I'm Meg Green.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.